Gospel according to Matthew, we are in the second chapter. When the wise men had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod will soon search for the child in order to kill him." Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I have called my son out of Egypt." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. There's what we want to do. There is, of course, what we have to do or need to do. And then there's what we would just as soon avoid doing, but we can't. And this pretty much marks our days. Things we have to do, things that we don't want to do, and the things that we want to avoid. And in the midst of all of that, somewhere is God. God with us, God speaking to us, God moving by our side. Somewhere along the way, we have heard in our relationship with God that God goes with us, which means that every place we go, everything that we do, every limit that trips us up, every sin that binds us up, always God is with us. And of course, we know that. That's in part why we're here, because we need to hear that again, that God goes with us. So it seems kind of obvious. And then we spread that out beyond our individual ourselves into this house of worship, and we know that God goes with us. This body of Christ, this city on a hill that's shining Christ's light out into Mount Morris and out into the States and out into the Northern Illinois Synod and certainly out into the world. We know, or at least we hope we know, that God is with us collectively, congregationally, and especially today. When we, Trinity Lutheran Church, this body of Christ, this city on a hill, when we get together right after worship for our annual gathering, because we get together for one reason. All right, for two reasons. One, because we have a legal obligation to do that because we're a 501c3. But beyond that, we have a reason. It's because we want to celebrate that we belong to God and that God is ours. We want to give thanks that we are with God and that God is with us. We together want to imagine what God is doing through our lives. And we do it collectively together in this space. Today we've got two readings. The first one is about Moses. The second one is about Jesus. Not really Jesus. It's about Joseph and kind of sort of Mary, even though she's not named. But, okay, it's about Moses, and we have another one that's about Jesus, who are individuals. So we as individuals are more than likely going to hear these stories and gather some wisdom and some inspiration about ourselves and how we remember that God is with us. So I want to invite you to do something a little different. For the next few minutes, I want to invite you to hear these stories, especially the story from Exodus that we will focus on. Imagine how it's inspiring us as a body of Christ, as Trinity Lutheran Church. Even if we don't count ourselves as part of Trinity Lutheran Church, or we're not quite sure why we're here on a Sunday morning, especially my beloved Saturday night friends. We're trying to figure this all out, and yet together God is speaking to us, and because you are here, because you are part of this body, you are this church. You are God working through us. We together are trying to imagine how God is with us. Especially because this first reading, it's a little bit sticky. This one that comes out of Exodus, this is Moses' coming out party about him becoming an adult, stepping out into the world. This is his first story as an adult, and it is surrounded with violence. Oh, and by the way, if you're keeping track and taking notes, God's not even mentioned in this story. And yet somehow God is with Moses. So just to get ourselves on the same page, Moses is born of his mother, Jochebed. Jochebed lives in Egypt. She is a slave, like all Israelite Hebrew people in that time. They were all enslaved to the Egyptian powers. And Jochebed knows that there's an executive order that came down from the Pharaoh that all Hebrew male children must be killed. So Jochebed does the only logical thing and takes her infant son, puts him into the Nile River, because Pharaoh is not just speaking these words, but he's enacting these words. And so she places her son in the river. By the way, the same river that's being used to destroy life. And then Moses bobs down the river and apparently bumps up against Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. And she immediately falls in love with this child in the basket. And then, go look up this story if you haven't read it in a while. It's the It's the end of Exodus chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2. It gets a little weird because now we have some machinations at work. Jochebed, the mom of Moses, recruits her daughter Miriam, Moses' sister, to go be at the right spot at the right time to talk to Pharaoh's daughter, because now Jochebed will get to raise her own son as a nurse, which, by the way, is kind of crazy. That means she's getting paid for maternity leave, but that's another story. But Moses grows up, for all intents and purposes, as an Egyptian. Though clearly his birth mother, Jochebed, and clearly the princess, did not let him forget his true heritage as a Hebrew man. They did not let him forget where he came from. So we can imagine, it doesn't say this in the story, but we get to use our imagination that Jochebed and the princess were telling him stories about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Rachel and Leah and Uncle Joe, who moved down to Egypt first and became friends with the Pharaoh before this guy and invited these Israelite tribes in so that they could be fed and cared for. Moses knows his people. He knows who he is. So when Exodus says that he's out and about, this is his big adult coming out party, when he's out amongst his people, he already knows the story. He already knows who they are. He knows who he is called to serve. He knows where he is needed. He knows where God's presence is needed. And in this particular story, he comes upon an Egyptian who is trying to beat upon a Hebrew. So what we don't have in the text, but just to remind ourselves again, all of the Israelites in Egypt are slaves. And even if they had some modicum of freedom, they were still counted as being less than everybody else. They had less worth. They weren't even counted as human. In your pew Bible, in the reading that we just heard, in my translation, it says that the Egyptian was beating the Hebrew, and it makes it sound more like one of those back alley bar fights that Moses shows up to break up. It's a little different from that. The Egyptian knows who he is. The Egyptian knows what kind of power and privilege that he has, and he is extending the Pharaoh's call to destroy Israelite men who are born as children. And he's extending that executive order to apply to all Hebrew men. So Moses sees this going on, and he steps in. Because Moses knows his people. He has seen their suffering. He knows their stories. He's grown up with these stories. And up to this point, he's been safe. He's been shielded, protected from all that mess. He could keep it at a distance. It didn't have to concern him. In fact, in this story, he could have just kept walking, and no one would have even known he was there. But maybe in this man who was being beaten and killed, Moses saw his brother Aaron. Maybe in this man that Moses came across, he heard another story about Abraham and Sarah. Maybe when he came across this guy, he prayed that he wouldn't see what he had just seen. Maybe he fought himself with every fiber in his being. Maybe he tried to keep out of it. He tried to stay on the other side of the street, but he couldn't. He acted with justice, and he moved with speed, and he saved a dying man's life using violence. And then he tried to hide it, tried to keep going, because, you know, he doesn't want to be noticed. He wants to keep this whole thing inconspicuous, but you know how it goes. Everybody knows. Word gets out, word spreads, it gets across the tribes, and it gets across the hills, and it gets across the entire nation, and it winds up in Pharaoh's house. And now Moses can't go home. He's got to keep moving. So Moses ran for his life from everything that he knew. He ran from Egypt all the way to another region called Midian. He runs from his past to his future because, spoiler alert, Midian is the first territory that the Israelites will walk in as free people when they cross the Red Sea. Which means this place of refuge for Moses when he's a young man will become the first place of freedom for his people when he leads them there. God is moving with Moses. He just doesn't know it yet. So this may not feel like the kind of story that we as Trinity Lutheran Church want to lift up and emulate, like this is going to have some great model of living for us, because this story is not safe. This story is not clean. It doesn't come with a happy ending. It doesn't come with a peaceful resolution. It is marked by human sin on all sides. It's shaped by human violence on all sides. It is very clear that violence is inherent in the system. It's all over. And it reminds us that there is a heavy cost to injustice in God's people, and there is a heavy cost to following God and acting against that injustice and responding directly to the needs of God's people, our people, who are disconnected, who are disowned, who are counted as less than everybody else, who will suffer even to the point of death. We, Trinity Lutheran Church, we as a body of Christ, we know all the ancestral stories, even if we can't repeat them or can't find them in the Bible, but we know these stories. They're what draw us here week after week, even if we can't repeat them to anybody else, our mothers and fathers, our aunts and uncles, our neighbors, someone sitting in a pew next to us when we were a kid, some teacher, some pastor told us these stories. And even if we can't repeat all of them for ourselves, or we get messed up in the details, or we can't even tell you who the characters are, still what flows through all these stories is God's promise that God is with us, that God loves creation, that God made us, you and me. God made us to live with God and to live with each other. All of these stories that we know, all the stories that we forgot, all the stories that we will discover one day, they remind us of God's divine love. It flows through every single one of us, and it binds us together as a body of Christ. You and I belong to each other. We are responsible for each other. We are called to serve each other. And like Moses, Trinity Lutheran Church, name your Christian worship body. We can try to look away, and probably in our sin at times we have looked away. We can try to shelter ourselves. We can try to protect ourselves. We can try to shield ourselves from the winds and the words and the forces of this world just beyond those doors, because those are some pretty awesome doors. They do keep us safe, but they're not meant to keep us in. And we can never keep the world out, which means we, as Christ's light, we, Trinity Lutheran Church, here in Mount Morris, Illinois, in the northwest corner of the state, north central-ish, however you want to geography yourself, right here, just like Moses before us, just like Jesus' family in the Gospel of Matthew, at some point, we may not have a choice anymore when we are confronted with suffering and brokenness, when the signs of sin and injustice become too loud for us to ignore, when they become too close for us that we can't see them anymore. And our neighbors, who reflect for us the body of Christ, keep showing up at our front steps. Keep engaging us out in the street. Keep meeting us at Sullivan's. God's people, our neighbors, our families. Suffering already. Injustices already taking our lives. Racism taking our lives. Hunger and poverty taking our lives. Lack of health care and loss of resources in our rural communities. It's taking our lives and our people. We the people, we're crying out. Our loved ones, our siblings, God's beloved, some of us who gather in these pews, we're being knocked down, we're being cast out, and we as a church, we don't get to stay where we are. For every human reason and for God's divine promise, we know God will move us because God's already moved us, because God is with us. Flowing through these waters that bind us to Christ and set us free from sin and death, flowing through this meal that nourishes us and binds us together as a community, flowing through the history and through the saints who got us this far by faith in this space, God's always been on the move. So God will keep moving us. God will keep loving us, and God will keep speaking to us, confronting us, sometimes convicting us, and always calling us into life and into the lives of our people who long for a word of hope, a sign of compassion, a light to shatter the chaos. Moses, in a moment, responds to crisis, and a nation gets its first glimmer of hope. Joseph and Mary, in a moment, respond to the violence that is whispered in a dream, and creation gets to hear God's word. We, Trinity Lutheran Church, almost 175 years young, the living presence of God in this zip code, with all of our praise and thanksgiving for our life in Christ, we get to respond. We get to act in love. We get to reach with compassion. We get to respond to the brokenness of this world with a promise of healing and mercy, of peace and justice, God's gifts for God's people. We know already we've been changed. God will change us again. We know already that we've been moved. We will be moved again. We die and rise with Christ every day, and we do this for the sake of God, and we do it for the sake of our neighbors, our people, our stories, our God, who is forever with us.